Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Industry Summit Podcast. I'm Terry Foy, joined once again by Dan Flynn.
Hey, Terry, what's going on?
Dan, we are talking about lacrosse and business, and we are doing so...
Two of my favorite things, Terry.
...on the heels of a May 27th event that we hosted in Philadelphia in advance of the NCAA Championship weekend that brought together folks from within and outside of the lacrosse community to talk about issues facing the sport, particularly issues facing the sport as an industry, whether that means you're a lacrosse equipment retailer or a lacrosse equipment manufacturer, a club team organization, an event company, a media company, so on and so forth, all the way on down the list. And I think that we brought together a group of panelists who provided a lot of value, and we hope that attendees back in May feel the same way.
Yeah, it was a great networking opportunity for people within the sport, and also to meet business leaders, thought leaders, influencers in other sports and other aspects of the sports business community, to come together and also to share experiences, best practices, and to hear people discuss how to improve your business and how to think about things a little bit differently. There was a ton of value to the attendees.
So that's why we did it. But how we did it is a function of who owns Inside Lacrosse as a company. And we are owned by a group based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, called American City Business Journals. One of their, one of our sister publications is the Sports Business Journal. And they are very successful in hosting these types of summits and symposiums at multiple points throughout the year that bring together, as you say, thought leaders and folks who want to network with one another. And so we emulated that model and applied it specifically to lacrosse. And we're going to be doing so again on January 19th in Baltimore in advance of the U.S. Lacrosse Convention. And we are very excited about the second Lacrosse Industry Summit.
Sure. So, Terry, today we're going to do part two of our industry podcast, where we're going to go over another one of the seminars that was part of a seven-part
lineup
back on May 27th. And this one is about implementing a successful social media strategy for your business.
So in part one, you heard Demora Smith, Howard Handler, and Jeff Price talk about lessons that lacrosse can learn from peer sports. And today you will hear Patrick McEwen, also known as Lax Film Room, moderate a discussion between Greg Keneally and Samir Chaudhry, Greg of East Coast Eyes and Samir from the Lacrosse Network, about how to implement a social media strategy to support your business. And in some instances, social media being the business itself. Going to hear a lot about how to integrate, how to develop, and how to implement a social media strategy, a successful social media strategy. So moderating the discussion will be Patrick McEwen, better known through his online persona as Lax Film Room. He, over the last 18 months, has cultivated a pretty significant YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram following. To his right is Samir Chaudhry, who is a catalyst and principal in developing the Lacrosse Network's social media platform. And it's so nuanced and large, I'm not even going to try to explain all of the tentacles that it has. I'm going to leave that to you. And then Greg Keneally, founder and president of East Coast Eyes, who in a very similar vein has developed a really expansive social media strategy as well. So I will turn it over to our panelists, and we will take questions for a couple minutes and then wrap at 4:30.
All right. To start, you guys want to introduce yourselves a little more lengthy?
Yeah, sure.
And talk about what you do in terms of mostly social media focused at your respective entities.
Absolutely. My name is Samir Chaudhry. I see some familiar faces, so great to see you guys. I am with the Lacrosse Network. We are, I guess in essence, a social media network made up of our own original platforms across few social platforms, probably, I guess, all of them. And we're also a network of content creators. So I'll explain a little bit more what that means, but I'll let Greg take it away.
My name is Greg Keneally. I'm the president and co-founder of East Coast Eyes. We started classic like basement garage story right when I graduated from college in 2011. Made a really big name for ourselves in social media, and now specialize in lacrosse stick, head, mesh, and shafts. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. I thought since this is the social media panel, before we really get into discussing things, we'll ask each of you to pull out your phones and make a social media post of some kind, documenting kind of this moment, and tell everybody which platform, which platform you want to go with and why, and
Yeah, I've been meaning to post this Instagram, but I can't think of good copy, so it's been like an hour or so. I'll probably outsource it to you guys at the end of this, but I'm going to do Snapchat. I'm really fascinated with Snapchat. I think it's an amazing connection, so I'm going to do that.
Greg? Yeah, I'm going to post a picture to my personal Instagram, ECDGreg, which I have attempted to make kind of cool. You know, I feel like most
celebrities. I'm about to start Snapchatting, so please.
Oh, well.
Let's see.
You just got Mike in the frame.
Yeah, you guys are all on the TLN Snapchat right now. Say hello. Woo! Now I'm on it. We're at the industry summit.
I'm in it. All right.
Now you're out.
You ended it too quickly.
This guy gets enough exposure. Yeah. Were you supposed to say why?
Yeah. Just why? Why would you go with? Why would you go with Snapchat?
Yeah, I think one thing is, you know, with TLN, as we've been growing. We started all on YouTube, and at the time, it was just a destination for us to post videos. It wasn't something that we thought that, hey, we're going to be a social media company. But as we've moved on, we've evolved with our audience. And as our audience has moved to different platforms and enjoying different styles of content, we've evolved with that. And I think one style of content that our audience is really engaged with is a one-to-one connection that's really raw. And the ability to connect with someone on a personal level. And I think Snapchat gives you that. It's the only thing between me and the audience is this phone. So it's a pretty incredible tool to give someone a raw experience.
And I was going with my ECDGreg Instagram as opposed to, originally we just had the company Instagram, East Coast Eyes, and eventually I made one for myself after people started being fans. And so now I realize it's kind of in the same way that Paul Rabel does a lot of self-promotion for himself. Even though I'm in company content constantly and people see me, people actually want it like a personal side. They want to see like my dogs and the house that I live in and the car that I drive and the food that I eat. I don't like posting the food, though. But I had to kind of bring in a personal life Instagram, which actually grew pretty quickly because people were interested in what I was doing outside of lacrosse as well as at work. So the kind of the two different aspects there. It's definitely important for athletes specifically.
Okay, and that actually leads me into one of the first things I want to talk about is both of you guys are probably two of the best examples sort of in the lacrosse industry of somebody who uses sort of a personal brand and as an individual on social media representing a larger corporate brand. And so I wanted, if you guys could talk about sort of how you made that happen and what are the advantages of using sort of your personal face there on social media rather than just sort of an autonomous, you know, non-human sort of corporate brand. And why somebody might want to do that as opposed to keeping sort of their own personality out of social media.
I'll take that first. So when I first started just making like mesh in the basement, I was making some YouTube videos just with a point and shoot camera, just like looking at the head this way and never showed who I was and made a bunch of videos that way. And then one day, people wanted to know who I was. I went to all my roommates who at that time it was just me and the company. I was like, you guys, I think I'm going to go on the camera and show my face. And they were all like, you should not do that. That is a big mistake. And I was like, whatever, I'm going to do it. So I bought a webcam and just like clicked it on and just talked about something. And from then on, people really enjoyed like that one-to-one connection and like a huge scale of it is like Elon Musk. You know, he's the owner and founder and also like the face and the personality. And a lot of companies have to hire someone to do that. But then the genuineness of the brand and the genuine interest doesn't really come across when someone's being paid to be the spokesperson rather than myself who has like a genuine love for what I'm doing. So for me, it's been all upside other than like little 13-year-olds run up to me in the mall and like want to take selfies on Snapchat. But other than that, it's been good.
Yeah, and I think for us, it kind of happened in two ways. One, I'm from Los Angeles. And in LA, there's not that much lacrosse, at least at that time and when I was growing up. But when we were first starting TLN, we were filming all the lacrosse we could, which was mainly MCLA or high school lacrosse. And at some point, you know, once the season was over, we ran out, right? And the only thing we knew was we have to keep putting content up. So it was actually when, and you'll see him up here, Colin, when he first moved from New Jersey to LA kind of on a whim, we started putting ourselves on camera because we knew we had to put out content. And it was through that process that we realized that this was a connection that even when there was, you know, 100, 200 kids watching us, they were commenting. And the thing about social media is it's that. It's social. It's a conversation. And when we would react to that in the next video or comment back, all of a sudden we were creating something that wasn't an audience. It was a community on our platform. And I think when you have a voice to that, it's really powerful and a face to that. And as we grew, I think one thing we realized too is that you look at the TV industry and kind of reality TV, right? As that started to rise, the Real World, the Kardashians, all these different personalities and characters that we were showing in a real way. And YouTube, Snapchat, social media, this is just the next evolution of that. You're able to connect with relatable characters who have a similar life as you and do similar things. And in our space, have this one binding factor of that we all like lacrosse. We all play lacrosse. We're all from the same community. So the more, you know, relatable characters there are out there, guys like Greg that you can aspire to grow up and start your own company and see exactly who he is, that's really important in our sport. So I think we kind of took that on and realized that and have continued to put ourselves in front of the camera.
Okay. Transitioning a little bit, one of kind of, I feel like, the fundamental choices that you make on social media is, given the limited resources of time, there's kind of a trade-off between the quality of content you're putting out and the quality and quantity. And I was wondering, can you guys each talk about how you balance or how you kind of tailor just putting out just tons and tons of content, even if it maybe isn't that good, versus being more selective about what you put out to ensure a higher quality?
So for us, I looked at quality like two different ways. It was quality as far as production value, like how good the photos look and how good the videos look, and then quality as far as how interested are people in what you've posted, that video or photo. And so in the beginning, we didn't have a graphic designer or a videographer or even a nice camera. It was literally, I was working, you know, coding mesh, and I'd snap a random photo that was kind of like behind the scenes, things people don't normally see. And that photo looked not great. It wasn't polished. There was no focus. But what it was really interesting to people. So I found that it didn't matter as much if the video was super HD or super slow motion or the photo was clear and focused, as long as it was something that people actually cared to see. And so we focused more on really quick stuff that I could do easily without actually having to ever go to my computer and edit anything that people actually really wanted. And so that way we were able to do it cheaply, no videographer or anything, but have more engagement and people were more excited about the content despite its low like production quality.
Yeah, and I think to kind of piggyback off that, I think it's important to define what quality means. Because for us, we believe that quality means connection. And really, the quality of the content is defined by how much you're connecting with the audience. And I think that's kind of what Greg was saying. So, you know, whether you have the nicest camera or your iPhone, you can create a connection with your audience. Sometimes better with your iPhone or with a vlog camera like that or with a webcam like Greg was doing than you can with a big camera. And the reality is, like you said, we're all working with limited resources and we're all trying to get as much content up as possible. So really, I think it's just starting to think in the direction of what is production quality? What is the quality of this content? If it's really about connection, then you look at a webcam video that Greg can do that can generate, you know, 100,000 views in a week. And then you can shoot something with a beautiful camera and generate 6,000 views. So it's about connection now. I think it's a little bit different. Things have shifted.
Yeah, some of my most popular videos are like the house we were in was built in 1850, and the basement is so creepy. And I had it was a webcam. I had to take my whole laptop down there and put it in the basement. And I was like all sweaty because it was hot down there. And these videos have hundreds of thousands of views, because they were tutorials that were super helpful, and everyone looks past the sweatiness and the terrible quality, but appreciates what I was helping them do. And so to this day, even though we have someone shooting like magnificent video, those videos do better. So that tells you something.
Yeah, I mean, just go and watch Punishment Picks.
Yeah, Punishment Picks,
I mean,
yeah.
The production quality has gone up, yep. but 2 years prior, or a year prior,
right.
You know, I mean, it was filmed by these guys, and it's a great, relatable show that kids can connect with.
Okay, that's actually a great sort of lead-in to one of my other questions. Was to ask is, as I mean, both of you guys kind of started small and have scaled up reasonably well in terms of investing in better equipment, better production values. for somebody out there who is looking to make an upgrade either in their own, either in equipment or in skills, what would you recommend is the most valuable in terms of, is it better camera? Is it graphic design or graphic design skills like learning Photoshop, video editing, that kind of thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take this one. I think I'll say the best advice I could give is create something every day. You'll learn from that. I mean, you have Colin, who serves as our creative director and really the mastermind behind all of our content. What did you majored in Italian, right? Not a film major. Didn't pick up a camera until he produced his first web series for our YouTube channel, and it was the highest viewed series at the time. It was called Club Ball. You could go back and watch it. It's a cool series, docu-style series, and I think it's a commitment to creating. If you hone in on your story and the story you want to tell, and you just start creating, you'll find it. I mean, if you'll want graphics, and you'll just say, okay, I'll go on Google and say, how do I use Photoshop? How do I use Illustrator? It's all there. We have all the tools at our disposal. Everyone here has an iPhone. You could create a movie with an iPhone. So I don't think it's about equipment. I think it's about creating. Once you get that and once you learn about your style and how you want to create, you'll start saying, like, oh, man, I wish I could get a slow motion shot in this. Oh, I'd love to get a slow-mo camera. But until you're creating on a regular basis and learning that aspect and have the drive to do that, I don't think anything else matters today. You have all the tools to create.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everyone has a phone now. It wasn't the case when I first started, but now everyone has a phone you can shoot something with. I wish I had that then, but I mean, I edited and shot 1,000 videos by myself, and I'm an accountant, so if I can do it, anybody can teach themselves.
Okay. When you talk about creating content, there's another sort of struggle or question that comes up is, you have all these different platforms like, you know, Twitter, Instagram. How do you guys feel about creating, using the same content across all platforms, which means obviously easier if it's the same picture, you don't have to take it once, and you're posting it to multiple places, versus how much is it worth customizing content to be specific for that platform?
Yeah, we do some of both. I mean, a lot of the photos we post to Instagram make their way to Twitter and then Facebook. And the TLN app as well. The TLN app we actually use in a really unique way. So that's their app. That's like this social media lacrosse specific app. And so I take exclusive photos that are like all behind the scenes that don't end up anywhere else with the TLN app, because I know that that's only lacrosse players. That every single person that looks at that is a lacrosse player. And they might be really interested in that super unique East Coast Dyes content. But Twitter, it's just they're all different. So Twitter we use more as like a customer service experience. We've replied to pretty much every single tweet that comes in, and we don't focus on so much as tweeting out content as much as like commenting on other people's stuff and having that interaction with them on Twitter. And then Instagram is where we put like 99% of our photo and video focus. That's really where our demographic is consuming their content these days. They're in Snapchat. And then YouTube has like our longer format videos, where shorter format make their way to the other medias from there.
Yeah, I think it's important to produce content specific for platforms. Do you have to use every platform? No. I think if you hone in on your brand and your story, you'll find which platforms are right for you. If you have a personality and you're passionate and you want to be talking about it, but maybe you don't know how to edit video very well, take to Snapchat. You can be on camera every single day, and you don't have to edit a piece of video. But if you're really talented and at storytelling and content creating, go to YouTube. I think every platform has its it has its own audience, the same way that each sport has its own audience, right? Like lacrosse is a passionate niche community. They're a little bit bigger, obviously, on these different platforms, but the audience for Instagram is different from the audience for Snapchat and for Twitter and for YouTube and for Facebook. And those platforms are evolving constantly right now as well. And there's certain types of content that performs. So if you're going to spend your time posting the same video across all platforms, can it work? Yeah, totally. But is it going to be efficient and really optimized for growth on all those platforms? Probably not.
Okay. Check the time. I think we're about ready for questions.
My question has to do with not so much
social media content and whatnot, but do you guys use your platforms and various content and getting it out there for any kind of revenue generation?
Yeah, so I'll start with this. I mean, we that is our business, right? Like, we are a content company. We're a media company. We create content. We work with brands to connect the brands to our audience, and we bring brands into the conversation with our audience. So we're building an audience in our sport of highly engaged kids who are plugged in across all platforms, and we use that to connect brands. That's how we monetize. So it's entirely, I mean, for us, I think it's important to view social media not as, oh, that's another, you know, thing that this company does to promote. That, you know, we're a content company. We're just like anyone who's creating programming for television, creating programming for a movie, for Netflix, whatever it is. This is just our avenue. And for lacrosse and for our sport, these are the avenues that we can own as a community, and that they're ours. So, you know, are we going to get a show on TV? Probably not. Do we want to? Not really. We want to put that stuff on YouTube and have a conversation with our community. So I just wanted to address that and say, yeah, I mean, that's how we make money. That's how we drive revenue, and that's our business.
We get a little check from YouTube every month, but I mean, we would do exactly what we're doing if those checks stop. So they're just like icing on the cake, I guess. It's not a ton, but, you know, it's something.
It must be nice.
Hey guys. So when it comes to, like, you're both young guys, and I agree this is where it starts with social media and going that direction. How do you share that message with maybe some of the current executives that are in, that kind of hold the purse strings, that are right now saying where the direction is going? Like, how do you convince them that what you're doing on social media is how the future is going to go?
I mean, I don't know if it's convincing that what we're doing or what someone else is doing on social media, but I mean, just kind of plug in, turn on your phone, right? I mean, it's where the audience is. Our core demographic as a sport, in my opinion, is the millennial audience. And we're lucky that we have this rabid, passionate, engaged young audience that's really leaned in. They're interacting. They're in lacrosse, you're used to going out and grabbing something. You're not given very much, so you're used to that. And to have like a Google search bar where you can type in lacrosse is really powerful. It's powerful for our audience, and I think just starting to think in that direction of, not that the internet is something that you should have as a company, or that it's social media is something that you should have. That's it. That's what we are. We're a sport that can turn to the internet and own it, and lacrosse lives there, and our community is there, and they're hyper engaged. That's where they are. So I think I don't know if it's much convincing. You know, I would hope that you can turn and look at a company like East Coast Dyes and say, wow, that's powerful. That connection is really powerful. And that's the future. If he can connect and, you know, drive customer acquisition and retention and consumers through that, you know, our effort is to drive customer acquisition to the sport of lacrosse through our platform. And I think that's, like, if you really start looking at it across the board, it's happening, right? Like, we're aggregating a network I mean, they're the biggest social media account. I mean, I don't know, that your aggregate social reach might be 300,000-400,000 across all platforms. The numbers are there. So I think just take a look at it. I don't know if there's much convincing.
Yeah, I think you're right, but a lot of people don't really, I feel like a lot of the older generation, they didn't grow up with smartphones, and neither did we, but we've had them for more of our lives, and they don't really understand what I feel like social media is for, and they feel like, oh, great, we have 30,000 people follow us on Instagram. Let's make our posts about advertising our products and make sure that people understand the selling points and they're getting like our ads. And I really feel like if you want to like grow your following, have people actually care about your posting, you have to flip it and say, why does that person who's on the other side of the phone care about what I just posted? Well, they don't care about an ad. People don't want to be advertised at. They want to look at stuff they just find cool or interesting. And so you kind of have to balance your posts between, of course, everyone wants to go on social media and advertise because that's how you sell your product. But if that's all you do, then no one's going to follow you. They're going to start unfollowing you, and no one's going to grow with your following. You kind of need to think about the other way around. Think about, like, why does that person want to look at what I just posted? Sometimes I'll post something and be like, I don't know. Like, that doesn't feel very good. It doesn't seem like that would be that interesting to the people I know follow us. I feel like sometimes the older generation, they get it flipped around. They just want to advertise when they have the followers.
I mean, it's an entertainment platform. So if you turned on the TV and you watched a TV channel with a ton of ads, or not a very active TV channel, you probably wouldn't watch it. So it's the same concept.
So a lot of people like to be exclusive, and I think the one thing that was unique about us, as compared to other companies' social media, is we posted every company's stuff, every single company's heads and gear was on our page, and it wasn't, you could go there and find everything, where if you go to another company's, you just get their stuff alone. It was people want to see everything. And so we felt like, well, we may be posting some competitors' products. At the end of the day, if people were more interested in that, then that's fine with us.
I think that's a really great point, because one thing that's important to note is that all these different social media platforms is an opportunity for everyone in this room and everyone in this space to have their own entertainment platform, right? And your own messaging platform. And I think what Greg is talking about, and something that we Colin and I talk about all the time, is that what you guys are doing, East Coast Dives, I mean, it's like when you tune into their platforms, you're consuming like East Coast Dives TV, right? Like you have a cast of characters, which is the guys that work there, kind of led by Greg. You have different programming. You watch different shows, and you're... they're talking about anything that's topical in the sport, whether it's competing with their product or not. And it's the reason why I like to turn it on. And I use that terminology because I think it's important to start thinking about it like that, that we're turning on East Coast Dives TV. It happens to be that this is an equipment company, and I'm engaging and connected with it, which is why now when I go to the store, I'm connected. Right. It's my entertainment platform.
And even if you don't like our products, people still watch, there's tons of people that watch our stuff that don't use our products or don't even like them or have hated them in the past, but they just watch it because some of our stuff is unrelated and it's cool. And hey, maybe someday while they're watching, maybe they will like something, one of our products.
At least they'll know about it.
Yeah, they know about it.
Even if they're not using it.
Even if they don't have the products, they still want to see what we're doing because it's not necessarily always product related.
Yeah. I mean, I fall into that. I haven't played since before East Coast Mesh came out.
Yeah.
But I just like to know what you guys are up to.
Yeah.
Inside the Cross Podcast.